So if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew, the 27th chapter. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. I preach this to exalt the person and work of Christ. I preach this to you who do not believe here today, or maybe you're deceived. I want to show you yourself, and I want to show you the only Savior you're ever going to have. But I want to answer two questions. They're really the same question, but just asked in a different way. The first question I want you to think in your mind. Don't answer audibly, but answer it in your mind. For whom did Christ die? If you could just answer that in your mind, how would you answer it? For whom did Christ die? The second question is almost the same question. For whom was Christ crucified? For whom was he crucified? This passage will answer that for you in a historical context. Literally, it will answer that for you. But I intend to take us from the visible, physical, historical context to the spiritual reality, and I want it to deal with you and I personally. So Matthew 27, I'm going to begin reading in the first verse. I'm going to read a lengthy passage. You're familiar with where we are here in the Scriptures. The trial of the Lord Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he, and that's that he is Jesus, when he saw that Jesus was condemned, Judas repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Now just one quick word about repentance. The Bible says Judas, when he found out what happened, when he found out how this turned out, he had betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and it just didn't turn out like he wanted it to. And so the Bible says he repented himself. This is not repentance. He's sorry about the consequences of his sin. He's sorry how things worked out. He's sorry that this hurt people. Brethren, that's not godly sorrow. That's a repentance that needs to be repented of. That's not godly sorrow that works repentance not to be repented of. That's the sorrow of the world that works death, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7. So he repented himself. He said, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us, the chief priests and the elders? What difference does that make to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. You see where his repentance led? His repentance led to death. It didn't lead to salvation. It was not godly sorrow. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for it to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. Doesn't it just amaze you? The chief priests and the elders are talking about what's lawful and what's not here in this context. It's not lawful to put this blood money in the treasury. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. What an act of charity. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest, you said it. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word. insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont, or it was customary, to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. They had delivered Christ to him out of envy. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ or Messiah? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. No, you're not, Pilate. You can wash the outside of the cup, but your heart is filthy. He tells them, See ye to it. Go get it done. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Brethren, I just read in verse 25 the downfall of the nation of Israel right there. His blood be on us and on our children. And it is to this day the innocent blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And now verse 35, and they crucified him. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would take these scriptures and that you would open them to our understanding. Lord, that we would be like the man who goes and sees himself in a mirror, and yet we would not leave that mirror and forget what manner of man we are, and particularly what manner of man this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is. Would you bless this to every ear? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very obvious in this passage that Jesus was declared innocent. If you look at verse 4, Judas said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. The chief priests and the elders knew that Jesus was innocent. Verse 18, Pilate knew that they had delivered him for envy. He was innocent. They arrested him and delivered him out of envy. In verse 25, again, then answered all the people, His blood be on us and on our children. They knew he was innocent. They said, It doesn't matter. Let his blood fall upon us and even upon our children. His innocent blood. Pilate's wife sensed it in a dream that Jesus was innocent. Verse 19, when he sat down on the judgment seat, Pilate's wife sent unto him, saying, I have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things in a dream this day because of him. Pilate himself declared Jesus to be innocent. Verse 24, he said, I'm innocent. He washed his hands in a mockery. He said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. And if you take time to reference the gospel account of this in John 18 and verse 38, there Pilate is quoted as saying, I find no fault in him. And in Acts 3 and 13, Peter said, Pilate was determined to let him go. So do we see, brethren, it was clear. Pilate found no fault in him. Judas knew he was innocent, that he had shed innocent blood. Pilate's wife knew he was a just man. The chief priests and the elders delivered Christ up out of envy. Jesus was innocent and everyone knew it. But there's another man in this passage named Barabbas. Things are different with Barabbas. Barabbas is declared guilty. In verse 16, it says, "And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas." This Greek word notable is where we get our English word not only notable but notorious from. Barabbas was a notorious prisoner. Everyone knew how bad Barabbas was. He was notorious. You ever go in a post office and you see on the wall and you have these pictures of criminals, most wanted? They didn't have post offices there, but I'm supposing if they did, his picture would have been there. He was a very notable criminal in society. The gospel account in Mark 15 and 7 said there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with them, who had committed murder in the insurrection. He was a murderer. John 18:40 says, "Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. So we have a thief, a robber, a murderer, a rebel against authority, leading an insurrection, and in the process of that insurrection, again, he committed murder. Barabbas was a very wicked man. So what happens here? Pilate has an idea to set innocent Jesus free. In verse 15, it says, "Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would." It was customary at Passover every year that whoever was in authority would release a prisoner as an act of mercy in recollection of the children of Israel who were in bondage in Egypt being set free. Now, this was not sanctioned by God. It's never in God's word that they should have done that, but it began to be a custom in Israel. And Pilate knew this custom, so that's where we get this in verse 15. The governor was wont. In other words, it was necessary that he do this because it was customary. It was expected of the people that he release a prisoner, whoever they decided. And so you can see the wheels turning in Pilate's mind. Jesus is clearly innocent. Barabbas is a notorious criminal in society. So if I give the people a choice, surely, who are they going to pick? Surely they're going to choose Jesus. This innocent man, Jesus, and release him. And so that's what he does. "Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Messiah?" Surely no one would prefer Barabbas over Jesus. Think about Barabbas' situation. Barabbas' situation was desperate. Barabbas was condemned to die. He was guilty of every charge. He was awaiting punishment. There was no hope for Barabbas of anything except the curse of death. And now without any, I'll remind you this later, without any cooperation at all from Barabbas, even against every calculation in Barabbas' mind, the question comes out of the lips of Pilate, "Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ?" Now, Barabbas surely thought he was going to die. He was on death row, but now this question comes, he might be set free. Well, brethren, both of these men cannot be condemned. One of them must go free. If Jesus is set free, Barabbas dies. If Jesus is rejected and condemned to die, then Barabbas goes free and he is saved, if you will, in a temporal sense. Look over at verse 21. I'm going to read this again. "The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could do prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Keep your place there, but look at the account in Luke 23. Luke 23, beginning in verse 24. It says, Pilate, in verse 24, Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them, him, Barabbas, that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Now, brethren, if you can picture in your mind, here are a multitude of people, very, very fickle people. And here's the person in authority who allows them to exercise their free will towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and what do they do with him? Do they embrace him as Messiah? No, they say, crucify him. Jesus was delivered unto their will. Now, what was their will like? Was their will free? Well, let's qualify that. The will of the people here was free according to their nature. They did what they wanted to do. No one told them they had to choose Barabbas and condemn Jesus. No one made them do that. Their will was free, but the problem is their will was disposed to evil. It was disposed to wrong. Not righteousness. So, brethren, I submit to you, this is what the free will of a sinner will do with Jesus every time. The will must be made, must be changed. It must be made willing to choose Jesus in the day of God's power. But that's a whole nother sermon. Back to Matthew. If we consider only the historical significance of this trial, it is only of minor importance to us. It just proves that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was spared no disgrace. He was spared no humiliation, not even being placed on the same level with a murderer and a thief like Barabbas. But if we can just, by the Spirit of God, if we can look beneath the surface here, we will see the heart of the gospel. You will see your only hope of redemption in this story. You see, you and I, folks, stand in the same position toward Jesus as Barabbas did. Barabbas, think about his name. We remember Peter. Peter's name was Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar-Jonah, what does that mean? Bar means son of Jonah. So here's a man whose name is Barabbas, son of a father. Son of a father. So you and I are Barabbas. You and I were Barabbas. Maybe you were not still Barabbas, but we were Barabbas. All alike, son of a father. Guilty, vile, condemned. You see, Barabbas stood in our place. You think you're not that bad. You think you weren't that bad. Well, let me propose this to you. James 2:10 says, Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Well, certainly before we were converted, we were vile, guilty sinners, even if we didn't think we were, because we were lawbreakers right and left. Well, let me ask you this. What's the greatest commandment? We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is likened to the first, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. Who here has done that today? If you say you have, you're deceived. You have not loved God with all your heart. God has not been in all your thoughts. And you've not even loved your neighbor as yourself. We know before the Lord dealt with us, many of us, and saved us, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Everyone is Barabbas. That's you. That's me. Isaiah puts it this way, Isaiah 64:6-7. We are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. I want you to see that Barabbas represents fallen man. It represents either what you and I were, or maybe what you still are. It's represented in Barabbas. Guilty of insurrection. A thief. You have stolen what is God's, what is rightfully God's. A murderer. You have hated other people, and you have hated God. And you, like Barabbas, you are bound in fetters by the curse of the law, and you are just awaiting the judgment day if you're outside of Christ. And like Barabbas, there appears to be no way of escape. Do you realize, for all of us, I came to this realization years ago, and it was very humbling to me. Do you realize when God looks at you, He says, who will die? You, you, or Christ? It can't be both. It's going to be one or the other. The sword of God's justice is going to fall to the right, or it's going to fall to the left. Who's going to die? You or Jesus? For your sins. Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Have you continued in the revealed will of God? You see, the curse which every one of us has incurred must be inflicted. It will be inflicted. It has been inflicted in some cases. You see, the sentence of condemnation upon us awaits execution that God might remain holy and just and righteous. Who's going to die, you or Jesus? But you see, in this account, brethren, there is a most wonderful alternative. You see, here is the guilty, or here is the Son of God. You see, He alone is the only one that can atone for our sin. We were in Barabbas' position. If Jesus is sent to die for us, you know what? The hour of our release, the hour of our redemption has arrived. But if Jesus is spared for me, then I'm lost forever. Now, this is absolutely counterintuitive to human nature to think about this. So the word came release Barabbas, crucify Jesus. And when that realization came for me, that the word came, release me, release John, crucify Jesus. Because that word had to come. And that word has to come for you. Release Kevin. Crucify Jesus. How can this be? Well, God so ordered it. You see, in this story, God left wicked men to their own free will concerning Jesus, that many, many multitudes would be set free. Acts 2:23, Peter says, Him, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified Him. Well, it is marvelous. It's amazing to think of the results of what the wicked free will, the wicked hands of these men accomplished at the decree of God. Think of the results of their actions here. Barabbas and Jesus changed places. The bonds of Barabbas, his curse, his disgrace, his agony, are now all transferred to Jesus. Christ's liberty, his innocence, his well-being, they're given to a most notable sinner. A chief of sinners, if you will. Both inherit the other's situation and possessions. The guilt and the punishment of this guilty man now becomes the lot of this just man. The rights and privileges of Christ now become the rights and privileges of this notable sinner. Are you starting to identify yourself in this story? You see, this is what Christ has done for all that the Father has given Him. Once Barabbas, son of a father, now through a wonderful exchange of grace, now Barabbas, son of the Father. Whereas we cry out, Abba, Father. Still Barabbas, you see, but never to be the same. All things have been made new. You see, the key here is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. An incredible exchange of grace. I love the way the prophet Zechariah puts it. This is the words of God. God says, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. You see, when the sword of God's justice was unsheathed against His Son, against His fellow, then the hand of grace and mercy was turned upon the little ones, His sheep, His elect. All of this shows, brethren, the mystery of our justification before God through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the deliverance of Barabbas, you, Christian, should see your own deliverance. If left to ourselves in our circumstance and our situation, we are certainly going to perish. There is no hope. But when Christ exchanges positions with us, our redemption was decided. It was fixed. And this morning, some of you may be despairing because of a sense of your own sin, a sense of your own guilt. I ask you to behold your image in Barabbas. Barabbas was completely freed at Christ's expense. And if you're a Christian, your deliverance is much more glorious than Barabbas's. As far as we know, Barabbas was freed back into society, maybe to continue his rebellion. We don't know anything more about Barabbas. I would hope that after being freed, the Spirit of God pricked his heart and he saw that this Messiah, this innocent and just man, took my place and that the Lord might have saved him. I don't know. But you need to see yourself in Barabbas. You see, since Christ became a criminal in your place, you and I are counted righteous for his sake. Since he was rejected in your place, you are admitted into favor with God. Since he bore your curse, now you can bear his image and receive his inheritance. Since he suffered your punishment, you are destined forever to share his happiness. That's the gospel. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. So let me ask the question again. For whom did Christ die? Well, in the historical setting and context, Christ died for Barabbas. You remember there were three crosses? We know from the other story there were two other notable prisoners with Barabbas. Christ died for Barabbas. Barabbas was supposed to be on that center cross. For whom was Christ crucified? He was crucified for Barabbas. But brethren, make no mistake, Barabbas represents every son of a father. Barabbas represents God's elect for whom Christ died. This is God's way of saving sinners. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And I know those for whom Christ died will surely, certainly, in time, hear this message of good news. And they will surely and certainly turn from their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their substitute, because he did not shed his blood in vain. You see, God in Christ has finished the work. We must repent and believe. So the word comes, release Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Now think of this. When that word came from Pilate, Pilate's not standing there at the door of Barabbas' cell. He's out in the hall of judgment. When that word came, there was a span of time when Barabbas was declared free, and yet he was ignorant of the fact. He didn't know what was going to come to pass in his favor. So let me put this in context of your life today. You may have an unbelieving husband or wife. You may have an unbelieving son or daughter or friend or family or foe. And if they are God's elect, that release has already been pronounced, but yet they are ignorant of it. So what should they do? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Imagine what Barabbas thought hearing those footsteps coming down the hall to get him. What do you think he thought? My time's come. It's over. And I'd say for every sinner here, if you're outside of Christ, I hope you hear those footsteps. I hope you hear the messenger coming. And I hope it puts the fear of God in you. And until you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you may be a lost sheep soon to be found by the Good Shepherd. But as far as you can tell, the messenger coming to you is bringing a message of condemnation and death. Except you repent, you will also likewise perish. But for Barabbas, instead of the executioner, it was a messenger with not just good news, it was the best news. Here's one who was guiltless, who is going to take Barabbas' place. And folks, this is the gospel message to you. One who is guiltless has taken a sinner's place. Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Not only is the penalty for sin transferred to the Lord Jesus, but also, brethren, the prison doors were flung open for Barabbas. We as believers are free from the dominion of sin as well. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, you're under grace. They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, propitiation, atonement has been made. The work of our redemption is finished. It is effectual for every one of God's chosen. The doors have been flung open. Do you see, brethren, it was not made possible that Barabbas might be free. He was set free. This whole thinking of Jesus made it possible. No! You see it in the life of Barabbas. And I'm not saying Barabbas was saved. I've said that already. But it is a picture of God saving his people. The doors were flung open. And we can take this thinking a little bit farther. How did Barabbas react after being told he was free? What do you think? Well, we're not privy to it, but we can imagine what might have happened. Do you think after having his chains removed that Barabbas might want to stay there in bondage? No, that's ridiculous. He's free. He's going to go free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, as Galatians says. You see, for Barabbas, there was nothing for him to do but to believe the message and go free. Just so, when the messenger comes to one for whom Christ has died and whom he has been made the substitute, what must they do? They must believe and go free. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that what? Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, a gift of God. So for the elect of God, he has not only made the way through this great exchange, but he grants repentance and he gives faith to believe the message. As we said last week in John 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So the doors are flung open, and Barabbas goes free. What if Barabbas had said, "No, I won't leave my prison. I've got to clean up my act first. I've got to become a better person." No, Barabbas, you are not liberated for your own sake. You're liberated for Christ's sake. This has nothing to do with what you've done or what you might do in the future. This has everything to do with him. He's taken your place. The doors are open. Go free. You see, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So if you go to Calvary in your mind's eye, and you have to, if you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to be sanctified through the gospel, you have to understand going to Calvary, and you have to see Christ there on that middle cross, which was made for Barabbas. You have to see Him numbered there with transgressors, bearing the sin of many, but you have to see Christ there taking your place. Because that's where you deserve to be. That's where I deserve to be. You have to see Christ being made a curse for you. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And Christ hung on that tree. If you're a Christian this morning, I want us to praise and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our substitute. Knowing that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might live for Him who died for us. But for some of you here, you may not be a Christian. You might even be pretending to be a Christian, and yet you're not saved. And if you're still in that prison of sin, in that prison of guilt, it's simply repent, believe the message of the gospel, and go free. You don't have to get better. You don't have to clean up your act. You have to turn. You have to agree with God that you are a sinner deserving of wrath and death and hell, and that you've not done good in the eyes of God, and you must sorrow for that and turn and go a different direction. And it's not turning and going any direction. It's turning and going to Christ. It's fleeing to your city of refuge. You see, when Judas said, "I have betrayed the innocent blood," there was a provision in Jewish law for those who shed innocent blood. Those who shed innocent blood, they were condemned to die. But they could run to the city of refuge. And if they made it to the city of refuge before their accuser and their avenger of blood reached them and took their life, they were to be given shelter until the case was brought before the magistrates. So if you're outside of Christ, I plead with you to turn and just to believe the message that Christ died for sinners, and to see Him taking your place on the cross of Calvary. You see, God commended His love toward us Barabbases, if you will, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, saints, take heart. The doors are open. Go free. Live free. Grow in your faith and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner, repent and believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let us pray. Father, we thank You again for the gospel. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the place of every believing sinner, who bore our curse, who bore our shame, our guilt, our sin. He bore it away into an eternal punishment that we might go free. Father, if there are any here who are still in the prison cell of sin, guilt, and death, Lord, may they hear this messenger today. And even if it strikes fear in their heart, Lord, may they turn, repent, and may they believe that Christ died for sinners, just as he took Barabbas' place. He takes the sinner's place. We thank you, we bless you for the gospel. We thank you and we bless you for such good news. We thank you and we bless you for your mercy. And Lord, may we sing this and may we make this known to every generation, beginning at home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.